text 51551. Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Now, while a boil water notice has been lifted for 600,000 people across Dublin, Meath and Kildare, the headache continues for Irish Water after it emerged that raw sewage from 36 areas is released into Irish waters every day. So what level of investment is required to resolve these issues for good, or is this just the beginning? Well, Minister for Housing, Planning and Local Government Eoin Murphy joins me now in studio. Thanks so much for coming in, Minister. Listen, let's begin with Irish Water. I mean, the Environmental Protection Agency has said that the pace of which Irish Water is fixing deficiencies in wastewater treatment infrastructure is just too slow as raw sewage continues to be released into the environment in many areas. What's your response to that?
Well, if Irish Water didn't exist, if we didn't have a national body managing our water system, then we'd be decades behind where we even are today. The EPA has done a very important piece of work here talking about how we treat wastewater, and it's important to separate out the two. Our levels of clean drinking water are, you know, very, very high, clean, healthy, safe drinking water, despite what's just happened in the leaks of plant, which I suppose we can come back to in just a moment. But because we have Irish Water now and because we have a dedicated investment into Irish Water, it is working on the designated plants that the EPA have identified. Planning permission is either in place or construction has commenced, or in just a couple of instances, we're working with the local communities to make sure that we get it right. So water was a big part of Irish politics in 2016 when we were trying to form a government. It's less part of the political debate, but the challenges haven't gone away.
But like
in terms of the investments we have to make in our infrastructure.
Minister, from 36 areas being released into Irish waters. That's quite shocking.
And that shouldn't be happening at all. But that's because we've had decades of underinvestment in water. And that's why in 2016, we were making the case. We were making the argument for a single water utility, a dedicated line of investment to make sure that we could make the kind of repairs and improvements that had never been made.
Okay, like, and I mean, on just that, as an your example, manifesto in 2016 promised a $5.5 billion investment programme to 2020. How much of that has actually been spent?
So we've actually increased that level of investment out past 2024 and 2027 to more than $11 billion. If you look at the Ringsend wastewater
treatment
plant...
How much has been spent already?
Well, we'll spend more than $1 billion this year, but in terms of what's been spent since 2016, I'd have to go back and look. But what we know we have is we have the plants that have been identified by the EPA that need the work to be done, and that work is now progressing in different ways. For example, Ringsend Wastewater Treatment Plant, a €400 million investment, got planning permission in April of this year. The Greater Dublin Drainage Wastewater Scheme got planning permission today. I was down in Cork in the River Lee. This is a water drinking plant, but it hadn't had an investment in 50 years, announcing investment there. So investment is happening all over the country, but
which,
it does take time.
Which, you know, for many people who are of those 600,000 people who had the boil water notices, that might sound a bit limp. But what actually happened
these aren't important investments. I mean, this is taxpayers' money that's going to make sure that we have both clean drinking water into the future, but also that we're treating our wastewater in the most appropriate way, bearing in mind our environmental concerns and, of course, the issue of climate change.
But the 600,000 people who had two boil water notices, what happened in the leaks of plant?
So this is separate, if you like, in a way, to the investments that are being made. So there's two different events that we need to talk about, the October event and then the more recent November event. The October event shouldn't have happened. It was preventable. An alarm was tripped. It should have led to a shutdown of the plant, and that didn't take place. That has now been fixed. If that alarm gets tripped again in the future, there'll be an automatic shutdown because equipment was installed to ensure that. The November event was different. The November event points to underinvestment in the Leixlip plant over a number of years, which is now being reversed. So we're putting about, I think, €19 million into upgrading the filtration system in the old part of the Leixlip plant. The Leixlip plant is incredibly important to hundreds of thousands of people. But unfortunately, the filtration system is out of date and we need to repair it.
Could it happen again? And when will it be eradicated forever as a problem?
It could happen again, and that's the important thing. We're through this boil water notice now. I'm very sorry for the inconvenience that it caused. I'm sorry that it was in place for as long as it was. But we had a choice. Either take the water system offline and people have no water, or leave the water going through the system on a precautionary boil water notice. And that meant that people could still wash their clothes, wash themselves, but when it came to drinking water or preparing food, they had to boil it. I know that's inconvenient, but having no water would have been far more inconvenient.
But in your manifesto, which I mentioned a little while ago, Minister, you also stated that water quality will be improved, boil water notices will be eliminated, and the scandal of raw sewage being pumped into our rivers and seas will be ended. I mean, this must be a source of embarrassment to you that none of this has happened.
Thousands of homes under boil water notice have been lifted permanently off those boil water notices. That has happened because of Irish Water investment. The rate, if you look at the EPA stats, our clean drinking water is at 99% in terms of its quality. So the vast, vast majority of our citizens, almost all, are getting safe, clean drinking water. And in terms of wastewater treatment, yes, we have to continue investment. That's why I was in Kildare only on Monday, where we're putting in €39 million for 18 kilometres of new wastewater treatment facilities. So this work is happening, but it does take time. It doesn't happen overnight. And if we didn't have a single utility to manage it all, it might not be happening at all.
Ruth Coppinger has called for an emergency supplementary budget, for instance, to immediately double the capital spend on water infrastructure. Is that necessary?
It's not a funding issue. The difficulty that we have at the Leixlip plant is about the filtration treatment system, which has the money to be repaired and is being repaired, but that will take time. And that's why, unfortunately for those residents, there is a risk of a return to a boil water notice. What we have done in the last couple of weeks, we've put in a couple of new measures to de-risk the possibility of that, to make it less likely, but also when it happens, to be able to move through the period much more quickly than we did this time. So there's a post-incident review team being put in place. Measures have already been put in place, like the automatic alarm system, but also we're increasing production from Ballymore Eustace so that we may not have to put people on a boil water notice at all.
Will the introduction of water charges be in the Fine Gael manifesto in the next general election, or has it been dropped completely as a party policy?
Look, we went to the country. We had this debate. We lost this debate. We settled. We had to make a choice between keeping water charges or having a national utility. Best practice everywhere tells you internationally that you should have a single utility. A point in case here is Irish Water had wanted to put in an automatic alarm fail-safe system last March, but because they don't operate the plant in Fingal, they weren't able to.
Back to my question, though, is that definitely no to water charges in your mind?
But that's actually in legislation is the case, that water charges won't be introduced in the foreseeable future because we have changed the way we're going to fund water. We haven't changed our commitment to a national utility. And because we have Irish Water in the summer of, but just, I mean, an important point, like, because climate impact is in all of this as well. In the summer of 2018, we were dealing with a drought. If it wasn't for a body like Irish Water, we wouldn't have been able to manage our water around the country as we did, despite having to put in place restrictions.
Let's move to housing, Minister. I mean, the latest quarterly figures from Daft, we were doing them yesterday in the programme, showed the average rent across this country has risen by 5.2%. They're at an all-time high. Are there any new measures under consideration to try to get control of the housing crisis?
Well, less than 6 months ago in the rental sector, we brought through very progressive reforms to protect people who are renters, to enforce the rent controls that we have, to give more powers to the Residential Tenancies Board to enforce these laws, but also to give more time to people where they have to leave their home, doubling and tripling the time that they would have to find a new home to rent. We know that rents are too high. That's why we brought in rent controls.
But are they worked? I mean, listen, renters are paying an average of €2,044 a month in Dublin. In Cork, €1,372 a month. Galway, €1,299 a month. In Limerick, €1,219. And there's staggering amounts people have to pay in rent.
It's unaffordable, and people are having to make unacceptable choices to be able to pay the rent. And we need to move away from that as quickly as we can. That's why we have the rent controls. We got independent evidence over the summer that rent controls were working for people who were already renting. We need to make sure that they are broader than that. That's why we brought foreign institutional investors under rent controls for the first time. It's why the report yesterday also said that rent inflation nationally is at a 6-year low and in Dublin at a 7-year low. So things are improving, but we need to do a lot more when it comes to people renting to make it more affordable.
The rent pressure zones, they are not helping to lower rents. I mean, John O'Sullivan, the Labour TD, she suggested calling for a rent freeze. Is it time you gave that idea a try?
I think that's a very dangerous suggestion. I know the idea of it sounds, oh, rent freezes, they won't go any higher. What it means for people who are currently renting is that would be the case for them. But for new people looking to rent, people who are just moving out of college, starting their first job, maybe they've been in a relationship, maybe that relationship has ended, maybe they're coming to work here for the first time. All the evidence points to the fact that supply for them would freeze. So we'd be freezing people out of the rental sector altogether. So it would just be displacing the problem. It wouldn't be making it any better. Rent controls manage to control the rent at a certain level.
But they haven't reduced them.
No, but rent inflation is at the lowest point that it has been in Dublin for 7 years. So it's starting to work in the right direction, but we have to get it down again.
Also,
and that's why rent controls, though, are important, because they also help with supply. And supply is the fundamental thing here that needs to be addressed. Yeah. And we are seeing new properties now in the rental market, which we haven't seen for quite some time.
Dara O'Brien was on the programme earlier in the week here. He detailed his findings that only 3% of eligible Airbnb properties have applied for planning permission or registered under new short-term letting rules. What's your response to those figures he got?
Well, I mean, they're not his findings. They're figures that I gave him, and he's misunderstood them, unfortunately.
Well, he asked for them.
He asked them and he got them, but he's misunderstood them in putting them out. So 3% of eligible properties. He doesn't know how many eligible properties there are under the Airbnb or how many are being let full time under Airbnb. So he's jumping to conclusions. I mean, Fianna Fáil were a bit late to the game when it came to Airbnb. In fairness to Kevin Humphreys from the Labour Party, he was pushing for regulation in this sector for a long time. I received a report from the Joint Oireachtas Committee, which includes Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin and Labour and others. And I went further in the planning laws than they were recommending, further than most cities, to get properties back into use. All parties supported my reforms to Airbnb. Those law changes only came in earlier this year. They are still bedding down. We are still hiring new staff. But that being said, we've about 320 properties were identified that were in breach of the law.
Okay.
Half of those are now back in use. So it is working, but it needs to work more.
Moving to, I suppose, the biggest issue that really affects Irish people, which you are in charge of, homelessness. I mean, there are more than 10,000 people homeless in Ireland for the 8th month in a row. Nothing seems to be working. I mean, how many more months can you tolerate that situation? Or have you almost become inured to it, desensitized to it at this stage? Because it's such a massive problem. But you're in charge of it. You're meant to be fixing it.
I'm responsible for it. I'm in charge of it. And I haven't become desensitized to it at all. It remains my focus as the minister to make sure that we're building thousands of new homes, private homes and social homes, and homes people can afford to buy to get people out of housing insecurity.
And why is it not making a difference yet?
Well, it is making a difference. And we need to be careful about this. So there's more than 10,000 people in emergency accommodation, and that's unacceptable. But last year, we helped more than 27,000 households into homes. We did that before the year before that, and we'll do it again this year. So we are helping tens of thousands of people who might have been homeless had we not put those supports in place. And so far this year, more than 700 families have left emergency accommodation. So there's a huge challenge here. A huge effort is underway. But the challenge is continuing. People are continuing to come to homeless services because we still haven't built enough homes yet. But that is improving. I mean, you cannot dispute the fact that the number of new homes being built is now rapidly increasing.
But then I suppose you see the images of the 5-year-old homeless child eating carbonara from a plastic container. And that's an image that just sticks with Irish people.
It sears in your brain. And the second I saw it, I went straight across the corridor to Catherine Zapone, the Minister for Children, and I said, Catherine, we've got to do something about this because there's no need for any child to have to be sitting on the street eating their food at night. Because of the support that we put in place with our partner NGO organisations, they're the experts. That's why we pay them to help families in distress.
Okay, moving on. I know there are reports this morning that your party's poised to deselect Maria Bailey. Is that something you would welcome?
I haven't seen those reports this morning. I came from a conference, so I'm not sure what's happening.
Well, what is your position?
There's a meeting of the National Executive. That'll be a decision for them. I know there was a vote recently by the local constituency about looking again at the ticket, I think is how they
phrased
it.
Do you think she should be your candidate again?
That's not a matter for me. I mean,
but I'm asking what your opinion is.
See, what I shouldn't be giving my opinion because, as I said before when I was asked this question, I'm selected by my members to be the candidate for Fine Gael in this area. You know, like Jim is selected for Fianna Fáil and Kevin's selected for Labour and so on. And if someone was to try from outside of my constituency interfere in that process, I wouldn't like it. So it's not right for me as a cabinet minister and a senior member of Fine Gael to be interfering in this process by talking to you about it publicly.
What's your view about Lisa Smith? I mean, Senator Gerard Crockett was here with me yesterday. He has suggested she should be arrested. And a number of security experts have questioned whether we are set up for the type of reintegration, I suppose, and rehabilitation she would need in her return. What's your view on what should happen to Lisa Smith?
Well, if she returns to this country, that'll be a matter, I suppose, for the Gardaí and security services to decide what questions they think she needs to answer and to whether or not she can remain in the country and be looked after in a safe way. There's a lot still to play out in this regard. I mean, I think we were all shocked to learn. I mean, when I first heard that Irish people might have travelled over to partake in ISIS, to be a part of that caliphate, it shocked me that the idea that someone might come from our own defence forces.
But what preparations have your government undertaken for her return? Because a lot of people are very worried about her being back in the country.
A lot is being done. I mean, the government isn't stepping into this blindly. There's been a lot of consideration at the most senior levels of government and of our security services as to how we approach this very sensitive matter. Bearing in mind, of course, that there's a young child involved as well. And bearing in mind that we do have responsibility for our citizens abroad, whether we like it or not, in terms of what's happening in Syria at the moment and the very serious security situation there. This has all been considered, but it wouldn't be appropriate for me to talk about it now.
Finally, in relation to Noel Grealish, we were just talking about that issue earlier in his words yesterday in the Dáil. Your government, your Fine Gael-led government, often relies on Noel Grealish. Are you still happy to do so, given his comments yesterday in the Dáil and before about Utquhart?
You know, I think it's kind of been an unedifying week for politics this week because of Noel Grealish's comments, because of a Fianna Fáil senator and her history of abusive tweets towards minorities. And, you know, when people from outside of politics, they look to us for leadership. And I was in the Dáil yesterday when Noel began to ask his question, and everyone became very uncomfortable very quickly.
Will you still rely on him as a government, is what I'm asking you.
People, and I was listening, I caught a little bit of the debate as I was coming in. He has a right to ask the question, but I have a right to think that he's wrong in asking that question. I didn't like what he was inferring or insinuating. He has to explain. You know, he is claiming that it was an innocent question. He just wanted to know, are controls in place? But what was inferred in the question, the people, the groups that he singled out, I want to know why he did. He has to explain that. He is not a member of Fine Gael. He is his
but
own
But you do rely on him.
Look, the voting situation in the Dáil at the moment, because we're a minority government, is fluid. Sometimes,
will you be still be happy
Sinn
to rely on
vote
him?
For, with us, and I wouldn't necessarily be happy.
But would you
that
still? Would you wait for his clarification, or meanwhile, are you still happy?
No one has questions to answer about what he was trying to do in the Dáil yesterday, because I believe it was bigger than just a simple question. I believe that it was disgusting and potentially dangerous. I'm worried about where this part of our body politic is moving, and some people seem to be egging it on, and we have to be very, very careful about the types of questions we ask, and we need to be clear about why we're asking them.
Minister Owen Murphy, I appreciate you coming into studio this morning.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.